Dave Fanning on
2FM.
2FM.
Now, on June the 29th, that would be next year. Yeah, June the 29th, this year is gone, isn't it? At the RDS in Dublin, or outside at the RDS in Dublin, it's going to be taken over by some of the most iconic 90s bands of what we're going to call here pop punk rock. A bit of PPR. We're talking Green Day and Weezer and Fall Out Boy. They're all coming together to bring us all back 20 years to the height of, I don't know, men in eyeliners or red check shirts, whatever it happened to be. So in preparation for this, radio DJ and music journalist Simon Marr is here to remind us of the iconic age of pop punk. I'm putting on the kettle, you go off. By the way, what is it? Is it a genre?
It's a kind of a genre / subgenre, because when I started asking people about this on Friday, they were kind of going, oh, do you mean pop punk, or do you mean emo, or do you mean skate punk, or do you mean whatever?
That's definitely not emo.
Yeah, and I went, that's exactly what I mean. And then people said, oh, you're talking about the Green Day gig. And everybody was very, very excited about it. Right. Because when you ask people about musical experiences, people will say, one, if you ask somebody, I suppose, over 30, about what was one of your first dips into rock music, you know, they'll say, oh, I got Green Day and Dookie, you know. Or if you ask people who are from much more recent vintage, they'll say, oh, I got Green Day and American Idiot, right? So the two albums that very much stand up. And the third thing that you can ask people is, what's your best live experience at a gig? And they'll say, oh, it was at a Green Day gig where I was invited up on stage. It seems that everybody in Ireland has been invited up to play on stage at Billy Joe Armstrong at some point.
I had them live on 2TV one morning on the telly, and they just, all they had was huge big stickers for the album Dookie. They put it in front of my face, they put it on my face, they put it all over the desk, put them all over the studio, and they put them in front of the camera. This is a live program. So people just saw the back of a piece of paper as we were talking for a minute or two, and the guy desperately trying to tear it off.
So they were being very subtle about it.
They were being hilarious. So what are we talking here in terms of what, like, trying to describe
the music. Okay, so fast tempos, right? Electric guitars, a bit of distortion, power chord changes, there's got to be, and there's got to be a bit of angst in there as well. And you put them all together, bundle them all together, and you've got yourself
pop
punk.
At least it's angst, not that bunch around at the moment with guitars which is just whinge.
No, there's definite angst in here. And in fairness to an awful lot of the bands who existed when it burned particularly brightly, a lot of them didn't take themselves too seriously. Right. And that was something that, if you did take yourself too seriously in this genre, you were doomed because of the fact of what it was, that you're mixing angst with power chords. So yeah, there's nothing overly sincere about
a lot
of this.
Do you know bands like the Dickies and the Buzzcocks and the Ramones and that? A little bit of, this, was that the basis?
This was it, because they all started off, and a lot of bands, I remember hearing, I think it was Joey Ramone being interviewed, you know, and he was saying, well, you know, what you know, connection to make between you and Fall Out Boy? And he was really like, you know, what's a Fall Out Boy? But when he was talked about the layering and the chords and all that stuff, he said, oh yeah, that's exactly right. What we did.
Well, I know nothing about Fall Out Boy, but they any good?
They were
wow, you struggled with that one.
No, they were definitely, though, Fall Out Boy were definitely one of the better of the pop punk bands. And some of them, remember, as again for that brief time, and now in the retro world, were really, really successful. You were talking about a phase that bands went through where, like, so they're number one in the charts, albums and singles, for a long time. They were selling a lot of records.
Okay, let's play an example of something. Which one would I go for?
We start with Green Day. Well, we might as well, because they're the biggest and the most well known of the genre, and the one that are very much still around with a high profile. So let's do Green Day.
I'm looking for it. I can't
let's
find
Dave,
it.
Let's do Green Day.
Okay, a bit slower, come on. You know, keep talking. Anyway, but let's not do Green Day. I'm doing. I mentioned Fall Out Boy.
Yeah, let's do Fall Out
so
Boy.
So what's Sugar We're Going Down Swinging?
This would be one of their biggest singles, but definitely one of the ones that even their proper pop punk fans are really into this track.
And that's what's called Sugar We're Going,
going down swimming. Yeah.
All right, okay, fair enough. Okay, I know exactly where you're coming from now. I forgot. Is that kind of, this is the thing we're looking at now, which you call pop, punk, rock. Is it gone?
This is the thing. It had kind of disappeared because so many of these albums were released in the sort of late 1990s into the early 2000s. They were huge for a while, and then bar the biggest of the bands, bar the Green Days of this world, they pretty much went away. But in the last 5 or 6 years, and I think possibly as an antidote to what we were talking about earlier on, about that whole idea of the sincere acoustic guitar strumming guys, that there was something came along and people decided, you know, this is worth going back to. And I think they heard a few of the bands and went, yeah, there's something definitely in this. So they've come back to prominence again, and people have started to dig out albums of Under the Cork Tree. You know, there's probably 10 huge pop punk albums, and Under the Cork Tree from Fall Out Boy was one of them. And one of the things you have to have in your pop punk band, in your repertoire, you've obviously got to be musically tight. but you've got to have a very good front man or front woman. You know, that was always a big, big thing about it. So, like, once you got your chords right, you got your guitar right, you got your bit of angst in, you then had to get the good front man or the good front woman. Patrick Stump and Fall Out Boy is probably one of the 10. You know, if you had them up on your list, it's like, okay, these are the guys that we're looking for here. Okay, so, they're the ingredients.
I completely know what you're talking about. So give me another example. Do you want to hear some Green Day just because they're the big ones?
Do it. Let's do it.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known.
Were Green Day the best of it?
To a casual like me, yeah, they probably were, like, you know, but that's not coming
5-1, 5-5-2.
Yeah, exactly.
Simon.
But they're definitely the biggest of them, very much the biggest of them, and they're probably going to be, if you even look at that lineup for the gig next summer, it's Fall Out Boy, Weezer, and Green Day. I'd say Green Day would be the big puller in there.
Yeah, but I mean, the cerebral side of it all was Weezer. They're a very good band.
Yeah, Weezer are a very good band. I struggle with them in pop punk, though, when you think about, you know, Undone or any of these tracks, or Only in Dreams. I'm not sure how well they fit in, but definitely Green Day, the biggest of them, and the one that have, well, I was going to say one of three or four who've had that real longevity, that have managed to go on and on and on.
What about Good Charlotte? Were they any good?
Good Charlotte, I was never a Good Charlotte fan. Now I have to admit that Good Charlotte were never a band that really took it. Oh, I know, but they were, in terms of pop punk, in terms of releasing pop punk singles, you know, every band in the pop punk genre was looking for that one track that they were really, really going after all the time, and something that would be remembered, would get used on the telly, would get into a compilations, and if you were lucky, you get used in a film, and that people would come back to 20 years ago and kind of go, Lifestyles of the Rich and the Famous. I remember this from ages ago.
There was something about all that music that was
it's incredibly cheesy, but like the chord changes are great.
Yeah, it's like guys over the age of 50 who run television programs in America and they want to put something in of the youth.
Yeah,
and they used to put these kind of bands in, like it'd be the soundtrack to, it'd be the sing tune for Friends or something.
Oh, absolutely, you know, and the syncing that they get. So if they manage to get themselves on the telly, they're absolutely laughing with these.
But so that's Good Charlotte, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
But when you think that so many of these, like a lot of these tracks, like Good Charlotte, I think, formed in like 94, 95. So they're 25 years that a lot of these bands are on the go. And what's interesting about them is quite a lot of them are still on the go now as well. So they've still managed, they managed to get through that phase of when the genre was huge, have survived somehow on this circuit between there and 2015.
Because I do remember Blink 182, All the Small Things. Can I officially call all this pop punk rock? Yeah,
yeah, you can, of course. Okay, yeah, but there's a compilation. There's definitely a compilation album with huge, huge songs in this, many of which people won't remember. I suppose Blink 182 were the pretenders to the Green Day crown, but they took themselves possibly a little bit less seriously, you know, and perhaps sometimes they didn't take themselves seriously enough at all, and that's what led to their downfall. But people really, really had that, you know, that two albums from Blink 182 that everybody had to.
Hayley Williams,
Paramore.
And that's the one. And,
because
are they one of those? Yeah,
because we talked about how you have to have, you've got to have the gore changes, you've got to have the angst, but you've also got to have, and I mentioned, the front man or the front woman, as in the case of Brody Dowd.
Hayley Williams
in this one, yes.
Not the greatest singer in the world, I would imagine. Really. Who cares?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I thought I remembered it. I don't.
Yeah, okay. But one of the things about a band like Paramore, and with a lot of these pop punk bands, is that it gave people who theoretically liked punk music an excuse to listen to pop music as well. That was one of the things. It was one of the great crossover genres that you listen to and kind of go, oh yeah, I'm a big punk fan. Who's your favourite band? And you go Paramore.
Me of American sort of cheap sitcom with kids in it. Music. By the way, there's the text here, and you're completely right, Aaron and Kerry, and I stand corrected. I said it was Dookie, because you mentioned Dookie. So yep. I said that was all the stickers that were the chaos in the studio at Green Day on 2TV. It was Nimrod. You're right. It was Nimrod.
Very good.
It wasn't Dookie.
Very good. Well done. And because when we were talking about, you know, the big female front woman, there's another, the Distillers, because I mentioned Brody Dahl a little bit earlier on. And the Distillers. And the Distillers, again, I think maybe two albums, but two huge albums at the time. And Brody Dahl, in fairness to her, ahead of Hayley Williams, really, really does have a very, very good voice. But for people who were listening to that, again, it was a chance. It was a way in. It was one of those things of like, I like punk, I like female vocalists, but I want to hear pop music as well.
I didn't know the Steelers. I know Brody Dahl, though. Hold on. Half these bands pretended to play their instruments, but actually it was session musicians all the time.
Yeah, see, this is the thing. And it's because you have to get it right. Like, musically, like you hear, because there are so many quite complicated chord changes, because you've got to get to that chorus and then do the na-na-na and then bang into the chorus as well.
You've got to look right.
But you do have to look right. You've got to get it right. But the genre, it's a funny one, because I was trying to think, when I was looking at this last night, I was going, hang on, what Irish pop-punk bands were there? And I kind of, the Keds came into my head, but very little else. And then I went, okay, UK-wise, what UK pop-punk are there, you know? And it really seems to have been a North American phenomenon.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that it just didn't cross the water to here, which is strange, because you think that there would be, obviously there's people who love pop and there's people who love punk, so you would have thought the combo worked well, but it really didn't.
Well, listen, we're talking about the gig. When is the gig again? What's the date?
The
again?
Gig is the 20th of June next year in the
RTS.
We're
talking Fall Out Boy, and we're talking Green Day, and we're talking Weezer, and I was saying Weezer would be one of the better ones of it. And in fact, this is a very famous song by them. Wow.
That's Buddy Holly.
It is indeed, yeah. Weezer. Okay, keep going. Who else is there?
Weezer were good, but I think the one that
probably. The Pinkerton album.
Yes. Oh, you know, but Weezer, in fairness, I think, are a very different sort of a band. Although, in fairness to them, having released those amazing albums, they released an awful lot of muck in between. Mm. But they're back again, and they've released a new music. I think they're releasing new music this month. There's a new Weezer album to come out as well. Jimmy Eat World.
Oh yeah,
right. And Jimmy Eat World were another one of the big ones, and they said that they were a crossover themselves. They said were a crossover between emo and pop punk.
Yeah, right? I interviewed them at Witness or one of the festivals. Yeah,
yeah. And again,
very nice guys.
But again, burned very, very brightly for a while. Like, when people talk about The Middle, you know, The Middle again is one of those songs. You've seen it in a movie. You've seen it in every rom-com ever.
That's
but again, they did this crossover.
American youth television. It just takes some time to build. Yeah, a lot of these bands would have been better off on their surfboards. I mean, or skateboards. It's like a lot of them had like shorts that went down just below the knee.
Yes. But do you know what must be interesting now is that, like, these guys, when you think, if they were releasing very, very big songs in the year 2000, it's now 20 years later. You know, when they arrive on stage, are they still wearing shorts that go just down below the knee? You know, or does it eventually reach a point where it's like, ah, lads.
Yeah, like, we'll wait till the RDS and see. What about The Offspring?
The Offspring, again, are a slightly different, I suppose, a slightly different kettle of fish, because they wouldn't have regarded themselves as pop punk, but they were. But when they released, when they were good, and again, like possibly like Weezer and many other bands, when they got into the sort of mid-2000s and later on, they released some awful rubbish. But when they went back, Dexter Holland, it was the lead singer, again, the really, really strong front man this time around. But when they released their early music, and again, 1994, 1995, that period, maybe 94 to 98, they released some really, really good tunes.
They were into kind of what I think might have been called horror punk.
But but Self Esteem is one of the best songs of this genre ever.
A dweeb, but that would have to be one of the words.
But there's a certain language that has to be used when describing this genre. Yeah. But they did, in fairness, because they started off, and they were definitely one of the early instigators. Their debut album was in 1989, right? So they've been around for quite a while. But they released it sort of into many years later. They were releasing almost ballads that the band was releasing. It's awful, awful stuff. But still, when people go back and they kind of go, Self Esteem, that's a damn good song. So they definitely are making it onto our compilation of the best pop punk records ever. As are Sum 41, right?
Sum
41, and as so many of the best things of America came out, Sum 41 from Canada, right? And probably the biggest of the pop punk bands to come out of Canada, released an album, All Killer No Filler, which you got.
School and learn something. A lot of them.
But when I went to look at this, I must listen back to some of these songs. So I went to Spotify and I typed in pop punk, whatever it was, and it was somebody's playlist that was up, and it was like 100,000 followers. Was 500 of the best pop punk anthems ever.
Fantastic. Yeah,
it's like, okay, I have 2 hours to get this done. How do I get through them all? Like, you know. But Sum 41 are interesting in that Dave Bash, who's the front man of Sum 41, has said that he wants to get the band back together again. So 25 years later, he said, oh yeah, look, there's a big, big market for this. So we want to do it again. So Sum 41 will make a return.
Right, I'll hold my breath. Go on.
Panic at the Disco, or Panic at the Disco. Definitely another one of the big ones as well. After Fall Out Boy released From Under the Cork Tree, they released A Fever Can't Sweat It Out, which is going to be a big one. And it was always going to be a big album. But they were probably compared, because they kind of their careers ran in parallel as they went along. I think people compared them an awful lot to Fall Out Boy, which probably didn't really help them. But again, people still go back to, you know, you'll still people say, oh yeah, on my playlist, my pop punk playlist, I have I Write Sins, Not Tragedies. And you're like, even just for the title. Yeah, even no, just the for the title.
The end of a, the Death of a Bachelor was an album by them.
Yes, yeah.
I remember that vaguely, yeah. With the heavens you people ever heard of, closing a goddamn door. I mean, it's all still better than the bands who are whinging their way.
I will absolutely grant you that. I think if somebody sat me down and said, look, you got to listen to like 3 hours of this stuff.
Having said that, if you play me those five tracks there, I get completely confused to which band was which.
I've named that tune. If this is named that tune, I'd be like, yeah, it's a pop
punk. That was Panic at the Disco with, what's it called? I Write Sins, Not Tragedies?
Yes, Which is it's a very important message. But you can hear, there's a lot of, I was going to say anger in it, but so much of the time, particularly the stuff that made the mainstream, it's very polite anger.
Yeah.
You know, it's goddamn anger. Yeah. You know, I'm tired to heck of this. Like, you know, there's an awful lot of that stuff going on.
<It's dweeb.
laughs> Yeah. But there's a lot of that. I think that's what probably made it accessible. And probably for the late 90s, early 2000s, radio loved this. Lapped up. Really, really lapped up this stuff.
Yeah.
And like bands like Alkaline Trio. Now, Alkaline Trio started off, probably they were a bit crankier than an awful lot of the other bands. But there was a scene in Chicago in that late 1990s where a lot of these pop punk bands came out of. And they all sort of eventually split off into various factions as they went. But you can probably, if you did some sort of a family tree, you can trace the likes of Blink 182 and everything all into the same genre, I suppose. It's the same gene pool. And Alkaline Trio with songs like Stupid Kid were one of the ones that came out and did very well out of this. Remember when I
said I love you, you have to be American. It can't be anything else. Is there anybody like? Is there a German band like this?
I think there's one. I think I found one that was Millencolin. And Mill and Colin are Swedish, right? Because in fairness to Sweden, and you have
Are there any Irish or
this one I tried to think of because when what was going through my head was the Keds, who were dentists of the two TV days, and the Jury, which is a song. So they kind of had an album of that sort of stuff. The Revs, maybe.
You know,
but of UK bands, not really. It's just a thing that didn't really cross over. But Mill and Colin were Swedish. Now, Sweden knows pop music. You can never deny that Sweden knows pop music. And but still, again, I think they struggled a little bit with this. But Mill and Colin, who are like Swedish guys with shorts just below their knees, were probably the most famous output from there.
This is a first for me. Then I've never heard this. So we're looking at Swedish. What do you call it again? Power pump.
Pop punk. Swedish pop punk.
Okay, I've never heard that. Let's see if they can do it. Then the American thing. Here goes.
Millencolin, yes.
But there it is.
But they're definitely, they're one of the few, I think, outside of North America bands that made it in. NoFX, one of the real pioneers, because you think NoFX have been around. I think NoFX have been around probably the guts of 30 years now at this stage. I'd say we're talking late 1980s, you know, for NoFX. They're one that was around.
So we're talking about the granddads of pop rock.
But they almost worked themselves into it because they were kind of there before the genre was formed. Right. They kind of got on the bike of pop punk for a while. And
there was a lot of bands in Liverpool. Yeah. The Beatles came along and suddenly they had the Merseybeat sound.
After a while they were sensible enough to get off the bike and go off in another direction.
Right, here we go. This is called Linoleum.
But they were always, in fairness, they were always a bit punkier, I suppose, than an awful lot of the other ones.
Like punk rock girl or those kind of songs.
Yeah, and that's the thing. But I can, you know, I think I prefer that stuff. Like, you know, it's just kind of,
give me one more, quick.
My Chemical Romance.
My Chemical Romance,
very, 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 very serious band. That sort of period, 2003 to 2008, released two or three albums. They were an absolutely massive band. And they, for a while, took themselves incredibly seriously. And they showed as time went on that when the thing was at its height, it was okay to be serious. But afterwards, it just became a bit of a disaster.
Yeah, sensitive boys in very expensive leather jackets.
Very expensive jackets. Band.
God, the clock has caught up with us, and I didn't even play Less Than Jake, The Science of Selling Yourself Short. Anyway, listen, it's time to go. Simon Marr, radio DJ, music journalist. Thanks a million, Simon.
Thank you, Dave.
2 FM. 2